Amen. Vanessa, being you folks singing, you got one too.
Thank you.
music, and just appreciate it. A lot of folk, well, some folk don't believe in it, but I do. Bible music, stringed instruments, I like it. I enjoyed that tonight. Appreciate you doing that. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. My sermon tonight might be like the city of Oakdale. If you shut your eyes, you're liable to miss it because I feel like we'll be short. I hope I am. I don't like to be long-winded. So I trust the Lord will let us get through tonight what we need to say and want to say. And you really pray for us tonight. In the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5, we are concluding the book of 1 Peter tonight. And Peter brings this epistle, this letter, to a close. And in verse number 12, he said, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I've written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein he stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good day, what you're doing, what you've done. Lord, I'm so glad that you're a God of all grace, and I'm glad you can help people that will only look to you and trust in your grace. So I thank you for the wonderful grace of God. I pray tonight now in these closing remarks of this chapter that we could just say some things that maybe be enlightening, it might be a help to us, and it might be a blessing to us this evening. Please, Lord, let us be to the point. Our mind's tired. Would you refresh us in our memory and help us, Lord, tonight? Bless our time of fellowship together, and I'll be so grateful. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The epistle that I've studied, we've been studying together, the epistle of 1 Peter, here Peter said, "By Silvanus." In other words, he is the one that bore this letter to these strangers that Peter addressed in the first chapter and the first verse. The different places scattered across Asia Minor, Peter had written unto them, and he sends this book, this letter, this epistle by this individual that's called Silvanus. Now, from what we can study, that's the same person as the one that we know of as Silas, the companion of Apostle Paul. Silas, or Silvanus, was an assistant to Paul in founding these churches that Peter is now writing to. I think about what the aim of this epistle was. It's stated in these last verses, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I've written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God." So this epistle, this letter, was an exhortation. It was to build them up in faith and courage and hope. And that is something that churches need, the people of God need tonight, is to be built up, to be exhorted, to be encouraged, to be helped along the way. I've been known in past days and years of being a rough preacher. I just preached against sin, and sometimes I can do it in a harsh way. But I understand, especially in later years, the people of God are God's people, and God loves them, and we're failures, and he wants to help us in our failures, and he wants to encourage us and exhort us along the way. So when I come to church, it's really not my desire to beat you down worse than you were when you came here, but to help you and encourage you and to build you up in your faith and in your hope and in your courage. So tonight it was a book of admonition. Peter did do a lot of admonishing in this epistle. He talks about this true grace of God. I believe that's what we preach. I believe that's what we stand in, is the true grace of God. Now, I believe it was Paul that talked about there were those religious teachers that would turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. There is a people that teach just live like you want to live. Go ahead, God understands. The grace of God, you know, covers your sins. Just go ahead, grace, let it abound as you continue in your sin. That's not the true grace of God. The true grace of God is the gospel of Christ, the message of Christ, the message of salvation. When people hear it, accept it, and believe it, it brings forth a transition in their life and a new birth. And then that grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's the true grace of God, the grace that saves and the grace that changes lives. The true grace of God is the grace of God that is revealed and demonstrated in the person of Christ. The true grace of God is the grace of God that we as believers receive and live by. And all the trials of life, God upholds us and strengthens us by His grace. I tell you, it's the true grace of God in wherein we stand. I'm glad tonight to be on a solid foundation. My, I don't stand in any other thing besides the wonderful grace of God. And all that I am or ever hope to be, when I make it to heaven, it's all going to be because of God's amazing grace. That is the true grace of God. Now, as Timothy was a son to Paul, not literally, not a biological son, but because Paul had led him to the Lord, ministered unto him, trained him in the things of God, there was such closeness that Paul looked to Timothy as being my son. In this portion of the Word of God, Peter mentions one, and it is this Marcus in verse 13, Marcus, my son. I don't think, again, that Marcus was literally Peter's son. Now, whether Peter had children or no, I do not know. I do know that he had a wife. It is a definite fact that Peter did have a wife. He was a married man, which refutes a lot of what's been taught by different people. Amen? But as far as him really literally having children, that I do not know. But here was a man by the name of Marcus, the same person, I believe, as John Mark, that was a companion, that was a friend, that was a brother, that was a helper, that was a convert, and Peter referred to him as his son. It's a blessed thing when preachers and pastors and soul winners can win people to God and help them, and they become help to one another. I tell you what I really believe and what I have experienced to a certain degree in life. You know, a lot of times there's people that will turn against you, but those that you lead to the Lord, those that you train in the things of God, I tell you, it's very seldom, if at all, that one of those people will turn against you. There's a fellowship. There's an appreciation. There's a love. I believe there's a great love between Peter and Marcus or John Mark. Now, You remember in Acts chapter 12, Peter was put in prison. The Lord sent his angel, and Peter was delivered from prison. Now, Peter was, he was in a trance, so to speak, and he couldn't really realize. He thought maybe he's just having a dream. But when he finally got outside the city and walked through the iron gate, he realized, man, hey, this is real. I'm really being set free. Amen. So he departed and he went up to Mary's house. You remember that? Well, you know who Mary was? That was the mother of John Mark, or I believe the Marcus that we have here. So what am I saying? What am I saying? Well, I tell you, here is old acquaintances. Here is a young man that has met Peter, and Peter has met him. Now, this is probably not the first time they had met, but through the years, there had been contact kept, and in the later years, such a blessing in life. I remember a few years ago, I can't remember what the proverb was, but it had something to do, I haven't even looked today, but it had something to do, forsake not thy father's friend. And what it has to do with people that are friends, people that you know, people that are a blessing, stay in contact with them because they can still be a blessing in later life. So Peter, here he mentions him as one that's greeting these churches in Asia Minor. So we have John Mark, a friend and a blessing to Simon Peter. Amen. Well, let's look at something here tonight that I've been studying on a little bit, and I hope that I hope we can be clear and present truth and have an understanding tonight. Now, in the latter verse, it said, "Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Now, this matter of greeting one another with a kiss of charity. Peter refers to it as a kiss of charity. Paul referred to it in his epistles as an holy kiss. Four times Paul mentions this holy kiss. You'll find that in Romans 16:16. It's at the close of these different books or letters. Romans 16:16. 1 Corinthians 16:20. 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:26, and Paul calls it a holy kiss. Here Peter calls it a kiss of charity. And this was a standard form of greeting and or farewell in that society. Now, I think tonight, in reality, if we really look at what I've looked at, the Bible I carry is a study Bible. I've looked at two or three different commentaries on this thing. You say it's not important. You mean something that's in the Bible five times and it's not important? Did you really say that? What about that? It has meaning. Now, the surprise is the holy kiss and the kiss of charity was men kissing men and women kissing women. So that does away with the ideal that women and men are to kiss each other in the public service. I mean, study it. It's there. I mean, you study your Bible. Got a study Bible? Look at it. It probably says the same thing. Custom. Now, you know, I noticed tonight, I think it is the custom of our people. I think it fulfills the same thing. I really do. I think it's the custom of our day, And it fulfills the same thing tonight in the services, in our prayer room. I pay attention. A lot of you folks think I'm about half asleep all the time. I've just got droopy eyes, amen, and an old tired, wore out mind. I'm not asleep, but I notice. And I notice it a lot of times in the fellowship. Some of these gentlemen, these folk that have been dear to them, they've got close to through the years. They've shared each other's burdens. There's a communication. I see these gentlemen, they'll embrace and smile at each other. And sometimes they say, I love you, brother. Sometimes they say, I appreciate you, brother. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Now, this thing that we have called Christian fellowship, or a time of handshake, you know, I don't know how other churches function. I've been in more independent Baptist churches than I have other churches. But I tell you what, I've been in a few churches that they wasn't a whole lot of welcoming. There wasn't much sense of love. In fact, you really wondered if those folk really knowed each other, the way they communicated and the way they acted toward one another. I really think what was being said in this scripture is you're to express your love. You're to show affection. You're to show compassion. You're to express your love one to another. And it's very important. Now, I'm running into a real problem, seriously. I wonder this morning, we had a great crowd. Did I miss somebody this morning shaking your hand? I did. Well, thing of it is, you've got 150, 160 people in this building. And everybody's trying to get around to shake hands, and you get a traffic jam. Well, I start down this aisle, and then I see an empty bench, and I go over here, and you know, it's like trying to go home up Rockwood Mountain. I mean, it's curves and bends and an honesty. Sometimes I miss you, but may I say, I really don't do that on purpose. Sometimes I miss you, go to the back door to get you, and lo and behold, when I look, you're still in here talking. And some of you, I think, sometimes exit the side doors. I don't think you're dodging me, but we miss. But may I say to you, this thing is really important that we love each other, that we express that love for each other, and that we fulfill the scripture in our mannerisms, in our customs of expressing and showing affection one for another. And I'm not trying to update the Bible. It stands good. I'm not trying to change it. It stands good. But I'm telling you, in a day we live in, sometimes, I mean, you can be pegged for something that you ain't, that you're not really, really are by some, I mean, you know, some guy hug you out in public, nobody knows who you are. I mean, this is the day you'll have to be accused of being a sodomite. I mean, seriously, I mean, it ain't a joking matter with me. Amen. I mean, I don't feel a bit bad. I don't feel a bit strange, Brother James, by expressing a love and a concern for you. Amen. But you know what? A lot of folk just seen that just out in public. They have questions. So, you know, we've got to keep. It's just like, for instance, in here. Now, I'm talking, but I know what I'm saying. I'm talking, but I know what I'm saying. You take, for instance, you ladies are, many of you especially, not that I think more of one than the other. I know some of you better than I know the others. But you ladies, I mean, in reality, you're like a sister to me. I mean, man, we've been here together all these years. Some of us are cousins. And to be honest with you, I don't feel sinful. I don't feel bad. Well, I can hug Betty Jones and I can hug Shirley, you know. But you know, the thing it has to do, that, can I just stop and say this? There's been a whole lot happening in church services in the name of religion and Christ and love that went too far and was not Christian love. It was lust fulfilled by people that had the wrong kind of minds. Hello? Amen. That's right. We got to be careful. We've got something that's so important to do, but we've got to be careful in how we do that. You know, well, yeah, let me go ahead and say this also. You take these little old girls, little old Miley. I pick at her, she picks at me. And one Sunday here several months ago, she got in the car and she was all tore up. I didn't get to tell the preacher by. I mean, well, what happens? You get close to those kids. They're like your kids. And, you know, play with them. But there comes a day when you're going to start backing off because they become mature ladies. Are you with me tonight? You may disagree at your privilege. I think I'm right. I mean, you know, there's so much involved in this thing. But let me say this. Isn't it good? Let me say this. Isn't it good that you can go to church and be in fellowship with people and you don't have to dodge this one and you don't have to dodge another? There've been times that, man, somebody said, "Preacher, so good to see you today." There's been times when folks have said, "Preacher, I love you." There have been times, and you've experienced the same thing. Man, you just needed somebody to lift you up and to help you. That's what we're dealing with tonight. And don't never come to church with your feelings on your shoulder and dodge people and fail to express your love one for another. I think one of the tragedies of the modern day church is the unexpressed love. Amen. Amen. Don't mean to sort anybody out. I'm just going to sort one out. So I'm not going to major on sorting people out. But I can honestly say this morning, B, I was looking for you at church today. When I stepped in the door, the first thing I done was to make sure B was at church today. I didn't call her. I didn't check on her, but I don't know how many days throughout last week that I thought about Miss B. Now, Miss B's been here longer than I've been here. And she has been a friend of my wife as well as myself. And I'm going to tell you, that's the reason we have handshakes, and that's the reason we express love. You say, you aren't, I think that's the problem. Let people know they mean something to you and greet each other. And can you imagine? I mean, here was the church. Here was people of all different nationalities. Can you imagine that heathen world as the believers expressed their love for each other? All different nationalities of people, but yet they expressed love for each other. I've shared this before. It's just come across my mind. Soon be done, promise you. But there's a gentleman, I can't tell you what his name was. I don't know what his name is. But George may know what his name is. But I can't understand what he says. My hearing is bad. He speaks English, he speaks it well, but he speaks it in an accent that I can't. But I come to find out, just through different things, that he was a believer. And so now, when he comes through, he's an inspector. And when he comes through, "How are you, brother?" And I say, "I'm doing fine, brother. How you doing?" And you know what? That man means something to me because he is a Christian brother. We ought to mean something to each other because we are Christian brothers. Now, I hope I don't say nothing wrong, but my wife worked down at Eddie's Body Shop, and she worked with a gentleman that was a Mexican, and he told my wife, "We're giving the son a birthday party, and we want you to come." She wanted to come to honor his request of a friend. So when we got there that Sunday, you know who was sitting there? It's this little fella that I see at the co-op. He's a brother-in-law. He's an uncle to the young man that they're selling. And I just sort of, you know, they got ready to eat, and they said, "We want whatever his name is, to ask the blessing. Hey, I felt right at home. I didn't feel tense. Didn't feel out of place. Felt very well. Christian love. What's amazing what Christian love will do. It's amazing what Christian fellowship will. So now, let me say this, I'm done. We come in here, we come to sing and worship God. We come in here to hear what the teacher says. We come in here to hear what the preacher says. But this thing of fellowship, and we've got a good fellowship. Thank God for it. We've got a good fellowship. And you do everything that you can within your power. And then when you've done that, you pray the good Lord help us. But man, let's keep that love light burning. Let's keep that fellowship a reality at Emory Heights Baptist Church. It is so important. Four times Paul said you're to greet one another. Peter said you're to greet one another. And my, how we need to do that. Take time. Take time. I've been told years and years ago that you could tell when the church was doing well. When church is doing well, people talk out in the parking lot a while. When church is doing well, they're not in a great big hurry to leave. But when you've got problems and things ain't right, they make a beeline to the cars and away they go. I believe there's a lot of truth to that, don't you? Amen. Isn't the Lord good? And Paul or Peter closes this. I'm giving you this. I'm done. Peter closes with a benediction of peace. Amen. I like that. Peter starts out greetings with peace. And he closes this book with peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Thank God for peace. I've thought about this. I really have. I'm glad the Lord has blessed me with peace. I'm not living a life of turmoil. I'm not living a life of turmoil at home. I'm not living a life of turmoil on the job. I'm not living a life of turmoil at church. And I really wonder sometimes, how much turmoil do we create ourselves if we live in a life of turmoil? Think about it. Peace be with you. Now, Paul closed his greetings with grace. I looked at it this evening. Took the time. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, all of those Pauline epistles, every one of them, he says words about grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Grace, every one of them. And I thought, you know, I've always been an advocate that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And did you know what? That book also has the benediction of Paul upon it. They don't make it necessarily dogmatic that he did write the book of Hebrews, but this benediction, I thought this evening, Paul, the benediction of grace. Peter, the benediction of peace. And of course, John is the apostle of love. And John said, love you one another. Love. He was a loving man, and he could write about love. How can I say it? If you're going to teach about something, you can do a much better job if it's a reality to your life. John, the apostle of love. And John was the one that leaned on Jesus' breast. Amen. Of course, Judas kissed him with a betrayal kiss, but John leaned on his breast. I think John felt the heartbeat of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I believe John felt the heartbeat of Jesus. What I'm trying to say, man, if we can live in the grace that Paul advocated, if we can enjoy the peace that Peter talked about, and if we can have that love that John felt in his soul, my, what a blessed life our life will be as we live enjoying the grace and the peace and the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah, it's important. It's really important. Paul deliberately closed his, closed his epistle purposedly with an admonition of grace. I want you to look in 2 Thessalonians. I don't know if you've ever seen this or not, but in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, which is the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians, of course, Paul also greeted with peace. But look at this. Verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Did you know what I'm about to read was in the Bible? The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Paul says that's the token. That's my writing. That's the way I close one up. You know, it's amazing, but we all have special ways, special expressions. They're habit a lot of times, but some of them can be a great habit. And it can be a real blessed habit to be able to say, the Lord bless you. May God's peace be with you. We're known by our mannerisms, our salutations, our expressions. Amen. I am known by my expressions. And Paul was known by the expression of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, I think I preached truth tonight. Feel pretty good about it. Amen. You may not think much about it, but you may need that person one of these days. You need to stay in fellowship with them. And if you can lose your stubbornness and your pride and humble your heart to keep a friend, you do well to do that. Amen. Fellowship. Wonderful. Wonderful thing. Amen. It's good tonight. Closing. But it's good tonight to be able to look all you men in the face and shake your hands and not play a hypocrite. Be straight up and down honest and say, I love you. I appreciate you. And you're my friend. Worth something. It's worth something. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I'm done. I wonder. What can I do?